المرسلين سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة. صدق الله العظيم. Honorable علماء, respected brothers, mothers and sisters, and those following us via the various transmissions throughout the country and throughout the globe. All praise is due to that Allah who privileged us by decreeing that we were to be born in the ummah of the greatest creation, the master of humankind, the most accomplished prophet, the best husband and spouse, and the ultimate family man, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We thank Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for His innumerable bounties and favors upon us. As we know, Allah has blessed us and blessed this ummah and blessed the Nabi of this ummah with many miracles. And we are aware of many of those miracles. We know that He sallallahu alayhi wasallam split the moon with the indication of His index finger. However, very seldom do we realize that one of the greatest miracles which Allah had conferred upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the miracle of his seerah, his own life story, his own example, his legacy. That's the greatest miracle which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has conferred upon Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and upon the ummah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If you look at his seerah, what story does it tell us? It tells us the story of an unlettered orphan that educated the entire world. It tells us the story of an unlettered orphan that educated the entire world. It tells us the story of a man who turned a barbaric nation into a generation of people who became the benchmark for greatness up to the day of Qiyamah. Those Sahaba who were deemed to be very barbaric, inhumane, 1400 years ago up to now, and from now up to the day of Qiyamah, they remain the benchmark. They remain the golden standard for all those who want to achieve greatness. That's the life story of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His seerah tells us the story of a man who revolutionized Arabia. Why is seerah important, brothers? There are many reasons. Amongst them, because Allah has commanded us to study the seerah. Allah has commanded us to know the seerah. There are over 50 verses in the Quran where Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala tells us to take Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as our example. Another reason why it is important for us to learn the seerah and sunnah is that it is the most effective way to increase your love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The more you learn about him and his life story and his example, the more your love for him will increase sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another reason why it is important for us to learn the seerah is because it makes it easier for us to understand Quran. The teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives context and it gives perspective to the verses of the Quran Kareem. And so we can go on. And during the course of the program, a little later, I will touch on a few more points as to why it is important for us to study the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For now, brothers, let me take this opportunity on behalf of our Amir, Mawlana Muhammad Khalid Pando Sahib Hafidhahullah, his entire executive committee, the imams of this masjid, the congregation, the community of Lanesia, to welcome one and all to the 6th annual Seerah Jalsa of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, taking place here at the Nurul Islam Center. Secondly, as we say every year, that we have come here, let us make our coming year beneficial by rectifying and improving our niyyah. Let it not be that we came here because we come here every year, or we came here for one or two reasons of benefit. No, the greater your niyat, the greater your niyat in terms of quality and quantity, the more we make intentions as to why we have come here, to learn the seerah, to come closer to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to increase our love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to go from here with a great desire and yearning to come closer to the example of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let us make this intention right now, brothers, that oh Allah, when I go from here, let it be that I'm closer to the seerah and the sunnah of your beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that I have greater love for him in my heart, and that I have a greater yearning to study his noble lifestyle. Let us make that niyyah. Niyyah is very important. Firstly, to commence the program this afternoon, we will be calling upon Qari Hussain Qadhi. He is from Mayfair, Johannesburg, a student at Darul Uloom Zakaria as well. He comes from an illustrious family. His father is an imam, is a hifz teacher. His brothers are all famous reciters and qurra. He will be commencing with a short recitation of the Qur'an al-Kareem, inshallah.
بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لقد جاءكم رسول من أنفسكم عزيز رسول لقد جاء لقد جاء وبشر الذين آمنوا أن لهم قدم صدق عند ربهم قال الكافرون إن هذا لسحر مبين
him with the ability to inspire us with his very melodious and his very heart-wrenching and heart-touching recitation of the Quran Kareem. May Allah bless him, his brothers, his father. Really, there is something worthy of envy when the entire family are people of the Quran. You know, sometimes if a man is a millionaire and his son is a millionaire and the other son is a millionaire, and people take a step back and they say, wow. Yes, it is wow from a worldly perspective. But when a man is doing service of the Quran and inspiring others towards coming closer to the Quran, and not one, not two, but three of his sons are doing the same, then we can only but say that Allah has indeed blessed you, and may Allah continue to bless you. Our theme for this year's Jalsa, as you may have seen, is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a husband and a family man. The reference here is to the marital life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of the reasons that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala did not send an angel as a Nabi, as a messenger, in any one of the generations, in any one of the times, Allah always sent a human. Why? This question was asked, and Allah responded to this question in the Quran, that if we were to send an angel, an angel is very different to you. An angel does not eat, does not drink, does not get married, does not have children. How would you relate to an angel? Whereas all of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam were humans like us physically, but in many other ways, they were the greatest of all humans. alayhim as-salatu wasalam. Now if you look at nikah as an institution, normally we say that nikah is a sunnah, and we making reference to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And indeed that is true. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, al-nikahu min sunnati. But we need to remind ourselves that nikah is not only the sunnah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but nikah is the sunnah of every Nabi from Adam alayhi salatu wa sallam. There's some academic discussion as to whether Yahya alayhi salam got married because he was killed when he was very young. And there's some discussion as to whether Isa alayhi salam was married at the time when Allah uplifted him. But there's consensus that Isa alayhi salam, when he comes back to earth, he will be married and he will have children. So this was the example of every Nabi, and this was something which was emphasized in every Sharia throughout the ages. Nikah is something that started in Jannah. When Adam alayhi salatu was salam was created by Allah, and he was sent to Jannah. Jannah is that place where you find everything that you can ever imagine. Yet he felt empty. He felt a void. There was something missing. And that was only filled when Allah created our mother Hawa radiallahu anha. So nikah starts in Jannah, and nikah will continue in Jannah. That's the speciality of this institution. Today we talk about the unity of the ummah. But unity does not come from the top down. It's not the leaders who will become united first and then everyone right up to grassroots will follow. No. Unity starts from the bottom. Through every marriage, you bring together not only two individuals, but you bring together two families. And as marriages continue to take place, families come together and societies are built. And that is how you build an ummah. That is how you build a nation. The stronger the marriages, the stronger the society, the stronger the ummah. The weaker the marriages, the weaker the society, the weaker the ummah. That should tell us a story about the weakness in the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our first speaker for this program this afternoon is Hazrat Maulana Musa Aqoodi Sahib Hafidhahullah. Maulana comes from the East Rand. He's a very senior alim there. He's the president of the Benoni Muslim Jamaat. He is one of the senior most khulafa. One of the senior most khulafa of Maulana Zulfiqar Ahmed Najbandi Sahib Hafidhahullah. Now Hazrat Maulana is well known throughout South Africa, but Maulana Musa Aqoodi Sahib had ta'alluq with him in the days when Maulana was not known to many people. And he has been very close to Hazrat Maulana Zulfiqar Sahib for many, many years. And prior to that, to Maulana Masihullah Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi as well. Maulana will be addressing us for the next few minutes inshallah with regards to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam being a mercy unto mankind, and that how that mercy filtered into his marriages and into his family life as well. We call upon Maulana Musa Aqoodi Sahib.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that none is worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the final messenger of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by His infinite grace and mercy has blessed us with many ni'mats. In the Quran Majeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you ever want to enumerate and count the ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will never ever be able to count them. Amongst those ni'mats, two ni'mats really stand out. On the occasion of Hajjatul Wida, this ayah is revealed on our beloved Nabi Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam dina. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum, this day I have made your deen kamil for you and complete. So it's just so easy to understand your aqaid, that what came 40 or 50 years later on, and the ummah is having so much problems in this day and age with different sects and different groups, we're just going to go back to the Quran and Majeed and say that your deen was kamil and complete at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is no scope for anything new that may come afterwards. وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي. Allah Ta'ala says, and I fulfilled my ni'mah and my favor upon you. وَإِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. You'll never be able to count them. One of that ni'mah, Allah Ta'ala says, وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي. وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. And I have chosen for you Islam as your deen. What a great ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is one ni'mah. The second ni'mah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ إِلَىٰ آخِرِ الْآيَةِ. The second ni'mah, Allah did a favor upon you. Allah's ihsan upon you. Allah ta'ala says, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ. Allah has made ihsan, Allah has His favor, His ni'mat upon you. When He sent from amongst you His Prophet, Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what was the prophetic mission? Yatlu alayhim ayati, He will present the ayats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the people. Yu'allimuhum al-kitaba wal-hikmah, He will teach them the book and He will teach them wisdom. Wa yuzakkihim, and He will also make tazkiyah and purify them. Now you know, so many ni'mats Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. He doesn't say, I've given you your sight, I've given you intellect, I've given you a heart that beats, I've given you a tongue that speaks, I've given you this in the world and I've given you that. But for the ni'mat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah ta'ala, and Allah alone has this quality, that He can boast about it, and He said, my favor upon you, my ihsan upon you, I sent for you this beloved Nabi, Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. And we have not sent thee but as a mercy unto mankind. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In this ayat of the noble Quran, which is commonly read before we do anything, we speak about the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that mercy is manifest in the presence of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for this ummah in their belief structure. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. My Shaykh, I'm actually delivering to you what I've heard from my Shaykh. So basically, I'm the postman and I'm bringing the message to you. In one of his messages, he said this, and he said that Gabon was a person who did a little study of the people of the past, and he gave Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam a very, very high and prominent position. And he said that during that time there was a Byzantine Empire, the Persian Empire, the Roman Empire. Nobody wanted to rule over the Arabs. They referred to them as a nation like dung. And when they had family feuds, it carried on for generations and generations. They lived that particular life. There was no oil in those particular days. It was a desert region. Who would want to come to that particular desert region? But when the Nabi of Islam, Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, came to that particular region, he made it, and he quotes, he says, he made it the nursery in the land of the heroes. Great, great personalities were born from that particular relationship with Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Michael Hart, in his ranking of the 100 most influential people in the world, he said, my choice of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will astound many of my readers. But he says, I have given him this number one ranking because I have studied the lives of everybody else amongst the 100 ranking, top ranking, and the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the highest in there. Each one had a teacher. But Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like Maulana said a little earlier, the unlettered prophet, yet full of wisdom and hikmah and the greatest amount of knowledge. He was the one who never ever sat at the seat of any ustad and any teacher. And that is why he was given that ranking of being number one. Now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into this world, and I'm just tying up this particular subject matter with the husband and the family man, because if you are a husband and a family man, you have a mother, you have a daughter, you have a wife, you have children, you have neighbors. How do you live that particular life? And shows this rahmah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how it extended to the various people that were around him. The story about pagan Arabia. There's a story about Suhail bin Asim radiallahu ta'ala, and he narrates a story to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he says, ya Rasulullah, in the days of Jahiliyyah and ignorance, my wife was expecting and I was gone away on a business journey. Like Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should go to Mulk al-Sham and Syria, and he should do business and come back. He should also, Suhail bin Asim says, I should go out for business. When I returned, I inquired from my wife who was expecting what happened with the offspring. She had given me some excuse and I accepted the excuse. But then in the meantime, she had sent the daughter that was born off to a faraway and distant a relative in a faraway area, distant place. When this little girl reached the age of understanding, he says, she had her brought back to the house, and a pretty young girl, vibrant, energetic. I played with her and I grew very, very fond of her, and there was a very strong bond and relationship between the two of us. When she saw this affection and this bond, he's telling the Surah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she found it the most opportune moment to break the news to me that this is my daughter. No sooner had she mentioned to me that this is my daughter, beads of perspiration started running down my forehead, and my mind was set into motion as to how I can rid myself of this disgrace that has befallen me. And so he tells his wife, I'd like to take this little daughter out on a business journey with me. The mother dresses the child up and he goes out with this child on the outskirts of the city and he starts digging a hole. And I can visualize that scene if I close my eyes. The children love to play with sand, and she must be also putting her fingers into the sand. And she must be also helping her father in the hole that is there for her, which she doesn't even understand. She doesn't even comprehend. And he says, when the hole was deep enough to accommodate this little daughter of mine, he says, I place her into that little hole, and then I start throwing the sand over her. She's screaming and she's kicking like, oh, my father, what are you doing to me? One speck of dust in our eyes. We are uneasy. And here this child, the sand is being thrown over her. And he says, no remorse, no regret, no mercy, no compassion, nothing overtakes me. And he says, I bury my daughter alive. Such was the ignorance and jahiliyyah that prevailed during that particular period. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has tears in his eyes. And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you look at his life, then you will find what rahmatul lil alameen means. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if a person brings up two daughters and he makes their parwarish, he gives, educates them, and he looks after them, and gets them married, then he says, they will be with me like this in Jannah. Such a noble state he had given to those, to the very women who were, the very girls that were married, that if you raise them, this will happen. That was the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam imparted to the little girls. وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. That if you raise them and bring them up in the right manner, then you will be with me like this in Jannah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a husband. You know, the Arabs treated their wives, pagan Arabs, in very, very harsh mannerisms and ways. When the father died, they could come into the nikah of one of the children. They were inherited by their children. Or they were sent out into a distant place or a valley and just banished. Ostracized. Great amount of difficulty. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about the relationship that man must have towards his wife, and children must have towards their mothers. Children towards their mothers, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Jannatu tahta aqdami ummahat, that paradise lies under the feet of thy mothers. Such a rank Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given the women folk, that your mother, paradise lies under her feet. From where, for those that were buried alive, to the status that Jannah lies beneath their feet. Khayrukum khayrukum li ahli. The best amongst you are those who are best to their wives. If I am the best to my wives, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Wa'ashiruhunna bil ma'roof. Treat them kindly, justly, in a very, very nice manner, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught. I remember when my son was getting married, Hazrat Maulana Zulfikar Saab Damat Barkatuhum was delivering a talk, and he says that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walks into the house, and Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, Ummahatul Mu'mineen, one of the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, she's drinking some water. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Humaira, Humaira, but like, Rukjao, stop, stop. And give me some of that water to drink. And he takes the water and he says, Humaira, where were your lips touching the rim of this glass? And then he takes the glass and he puts it by his lips and he turns the glass around. And he says, somewhere my Humaira's lips must have touched this glass. And then he drinks that water. Then my sheikh also said, he says, Humaira, today if you look at the tarjuma, you say like pinky, you know, rosy cheek or reddish. So he says, have we got any pet names for our wives? Do we treat them with that compassion and that love? I remember Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Rahmatullah Alayhi put it very nicely. He says marriage is all about, you know, never ever giving the wife the opportunity of ever saying, had I been married to somebody else, I would have been happier. And the wife must never ever give the husband the opportunity of ever saying, oh, had I been married to somebody else, I would have been happier. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam treated the women folk with so much love. And inshallah, later on during the night, we've got our very, very prominent ulama who are going to be telling you and sharing with you these waqiyas of the life of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us embrace it, you know what I mean, with the ears of our hearts, and then grow that love for our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when Maulana mentioned لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ, you have the perfect example in Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Take that example. And then I need to end on this particular waqiyah. That if you are, one more thing as well, if you are a family man and a husband, you have neighbors. The rahmah, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, even extended to the neighbors. That the Sahaba-i-Kiram felt that so much prominence was shown to the neighbors that perhaps they would become part of the inheritance. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that you must not eat until your neighbor has eaten. What a structure that has been laid by Islam through Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and that manifestation of rahmah, that nobody will go hungry, that if I worry about my neighbor and my neighbor worries about his neighbor and we worry about our neighbors in Soweto and Davidson and wherever they may be, then inshallah nobody should go hungry. That was taught through the aspect of rahmah of our beloved Nabi Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is walking for Eid Salah and the children are playing bubbly, joyful, enjoying themselves, and they're laughing one side, and he sees one young boy sitting very quietly, and he goes to this young boy and says, what's the matter with you? So the boy says, those children are enjoying themselves, they have fathers, I have no father, I have no mother, I have no new clothes, nothing to wear on this particular day, this joyous occasion. The Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes this boy and he says, a father like me would you want? And the child says yes, and he takes this little yatim and he brings him home. And he tells Aisha radiallahu anha, Humaira, bath this little child. And so she baths this little child. Some waqiyah that I've heard, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes the clothing of one of the Hassan or Hussein, Hassanain, and gives it to the child to wear. But my Shaykh was saying that he had his chadar and his cloth, and he tore it into two, and he tied one around the child. And then he comes with this child, and not walking with him, he puts him on his shoulder. And he's walking, and all the children are looking at this. And this child is so happy that he has a father. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Shaykh was saying, he put some oil in this child's hair and he combs his hair and then he brings him out and he puts him on his shoulder and he's walking with him to the Eidgah. And then he comes there, he doesn't place him down there, he lets him sit with him on the pulpit. Rahmah. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes his hand over the head of that little orphan and he says that he who embraces the orphan and takes his hand over the head of the orphan, then for every strand of hair he will get one neki. And so Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Anna wa kafilul yateem, myself and the one who looks after a yateem, kahatayni fil jannah, will be like this in Jannah. Such a great lesson of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the manifestation of the rahmah on the yateem. Today the world is full of yateems. The Muslim ummah, today they are not. The greatest amount of refugees are from the ummah of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That manifestation of rahmah, of rubbing that hand over the orphan which our Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his family life has shown us, must be extended in that particular direction as well. And there's so much more to say on this subject, but we are on it. Hazara bara bashoyam dehen ze mushku zafran, I can wash my mouth and my tongue 1,000 times with mushk and zafran. Who knows name to guftan kamali be it be, still like be it be taking the name of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such is the high ranking of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I end on this note here. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ki amad sirajam munira. The coming of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sirajam munira, an illuminating bright lamp for all of us. And he says, Sallu alayhi kathiran kathira, send salawat on Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kathiran kathira, abundantly, abundantly, every morning. You know, let us multitask while driving also and say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I just don't feel like ending with this particular subject. When you go to Madinah Munawwara, when you walk out of the haram towards the Oberoi and those hotels, in the distance is one masjid that is known as Masjid al-Sajda. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went into a long prostration. Sahaba ikram were worried. What has happened to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so long in Sajda? His ruh come out. And eventually when he lifts up his head from Sajda, Ya Rasulullah, peculiar, it's such a long sajda. He says, oh, I made sajda a shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed unto me that from my ummah, the one who sends one salat on me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends 10 salats on him. So I'm thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. We get 10 for the one we sent to our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And our Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fell in prostration to the Malik, the King of the universe, for Rabbul Alameen to thank him for this great ni'mah for his ummah. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ سُبْحَانَ رَبِّكَ رَبِّ الْعِزَّةِ عَمَّا يَصِفُونَ وَسَلَامٌ عَلَى الْمُرْسَلِينَ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ
جزاكم الله. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala reward Hazrat Mawlana Musa Sahab for those very touching incidents which he has narrated to us. And may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala make us amongst those who are very regular and constant in sending durood and salutations upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Two quick announcements, brothers. It's getting full towards the back, but there are gaps in the front. Let's try and come forward and fill in the gaps. Jazakumullah. There's also a motor car, DLN684. DLN684 GP. You are blocking. Can you please remove the car? Many times, we hear the hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being narrated to us by the scholars that nikah is half of iman. Nikah is half of faith. There are different interpretations that the scholars have given as to why nikah is half of iman and half of faith. One interpretation given is that if you look at the anatomy of a human, the physical makeup of a human, there are two organs in the body that primarily will lead you towards temptation. Two organs. Your private parts and your stomach. Many times people get involved in haram because they want to feed their stomach. And many times people get involved in haram because they want to feed the sexual appetite. So these are two organs primarily in the human body that lead man towards temptation, that lead man towards that which is impermissible. When you get married, you have created an avenue to satisfy the desire of one of those two organs. So half your iman is now preserved, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, fear Allah in the other half. Fear Allah in the other half. So living in an era where nikah and marriage and the whole concept of a family is frowned upon. You know, the man will be living with a woman for 10 years and say, this is my partner. Or he's got 5 children with 5 different women and he's not married to either one of them. It is important for us to once again remind ourselves with regards to the position of this institution of nikah within our deen. It is an ibadah, and every other ibadah, the time span of it is very short. Salah, roza, sawm, hajj, zakah. But nikah continues for years and years. If our niyyah is correct and continues to be correct, then every second that we spend married and every second during which we remain married, we are earning reward from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. They say marriage makes an incomplete human a complete one. Marriage makes an incomplete human a complete one. It's time now for us to listen to the recitation of Qasida Burda. We have this almost every year, and this is a very shining example of the love of an ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is expressed via his poetry. And this love is so appreciated by Allah that 100 years later we still enjoy the rendition of Qasida Burda, which contains these sentiments of love of Allama Busairi rahimahullah. We call upon Hafiz Yusuf Osman and Hafiz Yusuf Rawat to render and recite for us the Qasida Burda.
Are you ready? Assalamu alaikum. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وتعالى وبركاته. بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Before we commence, inshallah, on behalf of the two of us, we have chosen two common tunes of the Qasida Burda for the primary reason that we want everybody to sing along with us, inshallah. And my colleague over here, Hafiz Yusuf, has taken a promise that if you will not sing, he'll stop singing. So it's either up to you all or it's up to him, inshallah. Brothers, we need the mic. While we are waiting, inshallah, we can all engage ourselves in the durood of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. يا رب المصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الحمد لله منشئ الخلق من عدم ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد دين النبي الأمي وصحبه أجمعين.
مولاي صل وسلم دائما دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على الخلق كلهم. محمد سيد الكونين وثقلين. محمد سيد الكونين وثقلين والفريقين من عرب ومن جامي. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير. الخلق كلهم
هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته هو الحبيب الذي ترجى
وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم.
دعا إلى الله فالمستمسكون به دعا إلى الله فالمستمسكون به مستمسكون بحبل غير منفع
عاصمي مولاي صل لي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم وكلهم من رسول الله ملتمس وكلهم من رسول الله ملتمس غرفا من البحر أو رشفا من ديام مولاي صلي وسلم دائما دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم فاق النبيين في خلق وفي خلق فاق النبيين في خلق وفي خلق ولم يدانوه في علم ولا كرم مولاي صلي دائما أبدا على حبيبي خير خلق الله مولاي صلي دائما أبدا على حبيبي خير خلق الله كلهم مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم ثم الرضا عن أبي بكر وعن عمر وعن علي وعن عثمان ذي الكرم نبي 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 رسول 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 حبيب 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 أمين 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 فاغفر لناشديها واغفر لقارئها فاغفر لناشديها واغفر لسامعها سألتك الخير يا ذا الجود والكرم يا رب صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم.
to say anything. The moist eyes and the tears that are running down the cheeks, they speak for themselves and they speak volumes. We are running behind time in terms of this particular session because Maghrib Adhan is about 5 past 7, and we need to stop about 5 minutes prior to that to serve you some refreshments. So we will go straight on to calling our next speaker. Hazrat Maulana Ibrahim Bam Sahab, Hafidahullah, needs no introduction, Secretary General of Jamiatul Ulama South Africa, amongst many, 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 many other titles that he holds, but that shows the widespread nature of the khidmah that he is rendering to the Ummah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Maulana is an annual fixture in the Seerah Jalsa, and we call upon Hazrat Maulana to address us.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah ala ilmihi ba'da ilmihi wa ala afwihi ba'da qudratihi wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil anbiya'i wal mursaleen wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa sallama tasliman kathiran kathiran. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة صدق الله العظيم. Respected علماء, elders and brothers, we begin by praising Almighty Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the words of Allah himself, لقد من الله على المؤمنين إذ بعث فيهم رسولا من أنفسهم, that Allah has done us a tremendous favor by sending our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam from amongst humankind to guide and inspire and to teach us kitab and hikmah. Blessings and salutations be upon the best of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation, our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Respected brothers, when my honorable colleague Maulana Suleiman Sahab said that Maulana has been an annual feature in this program, it made me think that is this an honor or is this a responsibility, and how should we look at it? On one hand, there may be aspects of honor, but of course on the other hand, it places a great responsibility and sometimes an aspect of fear. Fear, are we good enough to be able to speak about Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam? We all know the very famous Urdu poem which I like to quote at this occasion, Mustafa Mujtaba tere madho sana mere bas mein nahi dastaras nahi dil ko himmat nahi lab ko yara nahi tujhsa koi nahi tujhsa koi nahi. There is no one like you, O Prophet of Almighty Allah. My heart doesn't have the capacity, my tongue does not be able or behoove to be able to speak about Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it is not something that we take pride in. It's also sometimes it gives us, and I say this from the bottom of my heart, gives you a nightmare that, Ya Allah, you are calling me repeatedly to speak. Are we not perhaps been part of istidraj? Are we not perhaps? What is the reason when we know, when we are not in any way worthy of speaking about Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam? This was brought in sharp focus when I heard recently a talk by Maulana Hanif Sahab from Gujarat in India, when he spoke about Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith, Hazrat Maulana Zakaria Sahab rahmatullah alayhi. And he said, Maulana Zakaria Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, in his time in Medina, I don't know at which juncture he was speaking about this incident. He said, while in Medina, when twice in the presence of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's cover in the front. And that also is quite amazing, because he said, I went once with Hazrat Maulana bin Nuri rahmatullah alayhi, and once I went with Maulana Asad Madni rahmatullah alayhi. And both the time I caught the kurta, and I went in the presence of the qabr of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I didn't go beyond that because I felt I was not worthy. I went with those two personalities because they were sayyids. They were the progeny of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And I felt that if I went with one of the sons and children of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, perhaps my guna and sins will be covered and Allah Ta'ala and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam will show mercy upon me. So this particular aspect of us speaking and listening about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, my dear respected brothers, is not only a bed of roses, it brings upon us a very great responsibility. The topic that we have at hand, and I think we have limited time, so let me start going into it directly. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a family person. Now we all know that family is society in miniature. What the society is going to become, or what the society will be, it is a manifestation of what individual families would be. And that's the reason why I feel that this is such an appropriate thing. Because what families would be, societies would become. So what happens in our family life, ultimately society would echo that particular aspect that is in our family life. And that is why it is so important as a first step to get our family lives correct. If our family lives are correct, then we will find that the societies would become correct. And inshallah, I will elaborate on that. Of course, when we speak about the family life, Maulana Akudi has very beautifully said that, of course, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being a person who got married. And of course, marriage is the beginning of family life. We all know that marriage is the beginning of family life. When Adam alayhi salatu wa sallam was in Jannah and he required a partner, despite all the beauties of Jannah, despite all the ni'mat of Jannah, Adam alayhi salatu wa sallam required companionship. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him companionship in the form of his spouse, not in the form of friends. At once. Especially, so be in mind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him a spouse as his companion when he sought out companionship. Now we must bear in mind that that particular relationship is together with it being sacred, together with it being sunnah, the nikah, this between husband and wife, it's also supposed to be one of companionship. I normally like to make the scope that it should not be like how Muslim women spend half their life looking for a husband and the other half wondering where he is. That's not supposed to be the way it's supposed. Now when we talk about this is the beginning of family life, but Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had put him through various phases of family life. Various phases that human beings would deal with in the course of their life. And that would be an example. Because if Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not put through these phases, we would not have been able to glean examples from the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That for example, just giving an example, I don't have the time to go much into it, but this can be the form of a talk on its own. That Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam grew up as an orphan. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's father passed away before his birth. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mother passed away in a very sad circumstances when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was traveling from Medina back to Makkah Mukarramah. And his mother passed away, leaving Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alone between two cities. And Ummi Ayman brought Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What happens when a person grows up as an orphan? Right? Not that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was deprived of love. Halima Saadia, Abu Talib, Abdul Muttalib, more than adequately filled that up. But as an orphan, what happens? You find that there are three aspects that happen in the life of an orphan. One is a certain amount of deprivation. You don't get everything you want. You don't get everything you want. So there is a sense that when you have your parents, the parents at your beck and call, especially in the age that you and I are living in. They say we, those who are middle-aged, between the age of 45, 50, 55 like me, we are a limited edition. You know why we are a limited edition? We are the people who are very obedient. We listen to our parents and now we listen to our children. We are a limited edition. Nevertheless, whatever it is, Now, what this particular aspect of often been is a sense of deprivation. A second thing is, there is a sense of independence. And the third thing is, in the absence of the parents, there is other influences that can come into play in the grow up of an orphan. There can be other influences that can play an important role in the development of an orphan. And in Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's instance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly influenced Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is a reason why our ulama said that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam grew up as an orphan. No other influence, not even the influence of the parents, direct influence from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What did Allah ta'ala say in Wad Duha? وَوَجَدَكَ ظَالًا فَهَدَى. Did we not seek you? Did not see you searching for guidance and looking for guidance, and we guided you. But these three aspects, as part and parcel of the family life of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, teaches us also three things on how to look after your children. He teaches you, don't give them everything that they want. Don't spoil them. A certain sense of deprivation is healthy for their development. The second thing he tells you is that also make them grow up with a sense of independence. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam's childhood gave us that lesson. Laqad kana lakum fi rasulillahi uswatun hasana. And the third thing it tells us, that do not only impose upon them your likes and dislikes. Don't impose upon them your likes and dislikes. Impose upon them the likes and dislikes of Allah. Tell them from time to time, I don't want your room to be unclean. Not because I don't like it, because Allah doesn't like it. Inna Allah yuhibbu at-tawwabin. Allah loves those who are clean. Do you realize the coming up of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a child, being an orphan, three great lessons. Laqad kana lakum fi rasulillahi uswatun hasana. But of course, when we talk about family life, then this particular aspect comes to mind. The aspect of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being a married person. Now normally we all know that my friends normally do tell me that I have a particular prejudice. Now in this particular regard, and in this theme, and in today's topic, no one can accuse me of having a prejudice, because when you say Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a married person, and giving examples with regard to it, so the examples can only be with kindness towards women, because Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a male. So there can be no accusations of prejudice. Just bear that in mind. So after understanding this, what do we learn from Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam's marital life? I will just give you certain points, and then in terms of those points, I will give you examples of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first aspect in a marriage, be mutual counseling and support. Whatever there is, the husband's situation, if for example the husband is in a particular situation, the wife must support the husband. And vice versa also, the husband must support the wife. In this particular way, you will find that there will be barakah. Look at Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We all know the example of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam being supported by Hazrat Khadija at the occasion of the first wahi. And I will come towards that towards the end of my talk. But let me give you another example of Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. Mutual counsel. One day, as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the beginning and initial stages of prophethood, one day she said, "Oh my husband, tell me when you receive revelation. Tell me when Jibreel comes to you. Tell me when he comes." So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "I will tell you." So one day Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam has come." So the Khadija radiallahu ta'ala did an amazing thing. And this is in the books of Sirah. She took off her scarf. And when she took off her scarf, she asked, "Ya Rasulullah, oh my husband, is Jibreel still there?" And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Yes, now he is here." And then after the revelation, she said, "Oh my husband, be assured that this is revelation from Allah. This is Jibreel. This is an angel. If he would not have been an angel, he would have still remained there while I was covered, uncovered with my scarf. The moment I took off my scarf, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam went away." Look at that unique way of providing reassurance to Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Can you imagine what a unique way of providing reassurance to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? When Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he first received the wahi, he said, "Inni khashitu ala nafsi," I'm afraid with regard to this responsibility. Look at how Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then gets reassured by Hazrat Khadija. So this we learn from the seerah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that husband and wife are supposed to be. You know, that is the reason why Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala said, "I had no jealousy for other women or other wives they were had for Khadija radiallahu ta'ala." One day, the sister of Khadija radiallahu ta'ala knocked at the door, and when she said, "Assalamu alaikum," her voice in a small way resembled that of Hazrat Khadija. I saw the impact of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and because of my love for Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I said, "Ya Rasulullah, why do you think of an old woman when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you younger, and Allah has given you younger and other women and other wives?" And Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Oh Aisha, never inconvenience me about Khadija. She supported me when there was none who was there to support me. She brought iman upon me when there was very few who were prepared to bring iman upon me. And she sacrificed her life, she sacrificed her wealth at a time when there was none who were prepared to sacrifice for me." وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى. The ulama write that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in difficulty financially, Allah enriched him. Look at the tafsir, they say, Allah enriched him with the wealth of his wife Khadija. Mutual counseling and support. The second aspect is understand the temperament of your spouse. If you understand the temperament of your spouse and understand the moods of your spouse, you will be able to go very far. And that's why Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on one occasion told Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, the incident is so beautiful, but look at the lesson that we are supposed to learn. "Oh Aisha, I know when you are angry with me, or you are not so happy with me, and I know when you are happy with me." And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said, "Ya Rasulullah, tell me, what is the situation? How do you know?" She said, "When you are happy with me, then in your conversation you say, 'By the Lord of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.' And when you are not so happy, in your conversation you say, 'By the Lord of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam.'" And Aisha said, "Ya Rasulullah, that's only what I say with my tongue. My heart is all the time with you." How many of us know the temperament, know the nature of our wives? I don't want to take an examination. How many of us know the favorite color of our wife? How many of us know what our wives like and dislike? And don't say this is not piety. If it was not piety, why did Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tell Hazrat Aisha, "I know your moods, I know"? "I know when you are happy, and I know when you are not happy with me." If you move your temperament of your spouse, where do we learn this? We learn this from the example of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when we say لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ, these are the type of things that we are supposed to take examples from. The third thing I would like to make mention is, don't skimp and don't be shy with regard to love and romance. Marriage is not only supposed to be a dour and serious affair. Marriage is not only supposed to be one in which you just fulfill your desires and just fulfill whatever you are supposed to get a pot of food. What about the emotional needs of one another? What about the romantic aspect? And it is so unfortunate way, you know, Maulana has made mention, Maulana Suleiman Saif said, that never ever let it happen, feels that I will be better off with someone else. And if this is something wrong, then why did Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam do it? And what do you find Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam doing? Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala says, on many occasions, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to place, and he used to sleep on the lap of his wives. Not on one occasion, many occasions, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to sleep on the laps of his wives. Now in this way, if it ever it is done, can you imagine what type of love there would be created between the husband and wife? On one occasion, let me give you this a beautiful incident, that Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam was on the lap of his wife Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. It was during one of those journeys in which Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha's jewelry got lost, And because Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha's jewelry got lost, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the entire army stop looking for the jewelry of his wife. Those people who say don't become like who is the knocker of your wife. By the Nabi of Allah stopped an entire army looking for the jewelry of his wife. Right? And then when this happened, the time of namaz was coming close. There was no wuzu water anywhere. So Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu got angry with his daughter and he came into the tent. And when he came into the tent, he saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the lap of his daughter. He was angry. So because of his anger, he started poking Aisha radiallahu anha everywhere. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala said, I could not protect myself because I didn't want to disturb my beloved husband sleeping on my lap. So I just took whatever my father was doing. And he said, because of you we got into this problem. Because of you there is no water. Where are the people going to make wuzu? And then when Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got up, the ayats of tayammum were revealed. And Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala comes back and he said, oh my daughter, forgive me. How many times your aspects, whatever you have done, it has brought blessings to this ummah. Because of you, Hazrat Aisha, the ayats of tayammum has been made as a matter of accommodation for the ummah till the day of judgment. But where it came, I just read, brother, that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sleeping on Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala has left at that particular time. Then it is also very famous that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala used to comb the hair and the beard of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. Also Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, while in itikaf, used to place his head upon the pillar, and Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala used to put oil on the hair of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now can you imagine when love comes to such an extent that the couple, they want to do everything for the sake of their beloved ones. That is a type of love and that is a type of relationship Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had between him and his wives. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Hazrat Aisha used to comb the hair, used to apply oil on the hair, and they used to lie on the lap of one another. This is from the sunnah of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then also, there is also going to be casual interaction. There is not only supposed to be a situation where there is only serious matters, there is also supposed to be casual interaction between husband and wife. Sometimes there is laughter, sometimes there is an aspect of sharing a joke, sharing events. We all know that there was this hadith of khurafa. And of course, we know, we speak and say khurafat. What is the meaning of khurafat? There was a jinn, there was a story of a jinn. The person went and he got lost. And after he got lost, he went into the colony of jinns. And he came back and he spoke all the stories of what he saw in the colony of jinns. And that became known as hadith khurafa. And Nabi Karim sallallahu heard that from his wives, which is known as hadith khurafa. So sometimes there is an aspect with regard to casual interaction. There is jokes, there is speaking something informally, speaking things that are not so serious. All the time you're only giving bayan. First of all, the wife is not going to listen to the husband bayan. Forget that. No matter how much we try. So rather, instead of doing that, rather speak about things casually. You are more likely to get things done and more likely to have an impact through the means of such discussion than to give a long bayan. There you go again. The moment you start your bayan, they say, there you go again. A casual interaction. On one occasion, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting with Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Sauda radiallahu ta'ala came, and at that particular time, there was some sweet that was prepared. And Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala said that, oh Sauda, you eat it. And she said, I'm not going to eat it for whatever reason. Maybe she was not in the mood or she didn't want to eat. And Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala said, you better eat, otherwise I'm going to force you to eat. And then Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala took that particular, pudding and whatever it was and forced it down the throat of Hazrat Sauda until her entire face was filled with that particular dish that was prepared. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw this. It is in Sunan al-Nisa'i. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after this was done, told Hazrat Sauda, alright, you now do the same to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. Now there is this particular aspect in a Gujarati culture. If these things happen, Allah knows what's going to say. Subhanallah, what's this, all these things happening. Then another aspect is, in every marriage there is going to be certain aspects in which there is going to be a little bit of difference of opinion. So how do you deal with the difference of opinion? Let me give you two examples of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a married person. On one occasion, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala came past. And he saw that Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, they were having some sort of words. Nowadays they say the husband and the wife, normally the husband has certain words with the wife and the wife has certain paragraphs with the husband. Normally that's the way it happens in today's time. Nevertheless, I'd say, and remember this what I'm saying, in an ideal marriage, in a marriage in which a wife loves the husband, there is going to be times sometimes where she will express her anger because she doesn't have any other outlet for her to express her anger. So when she expresses her anger to her husband, don't take it necessarily as negative. Sometimes it is an aspect of her valuing you. She doesn't have any other way, another outlet to be able to take out her anger. So now, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala was saying few things and her voice became slightly high. So Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala was passing by. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu got angry and he came into the room and he said, how dare you speak to the Nabi of Allah like that? That relationship was right for Abu Bakr to say that. And Hazrat Aisha and Hazrat Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's, their relationship was right for her to say those things. So just remember this. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came and he wanted to discipline her and rebuke her. And what did she do? Amazing. Just before that she was expressing anger to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. She stood behind Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And as she stood behind Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam protected her from her father. And then when she went away, Abu Bakr went away because couldn't do anything. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told Hazrat Aisha, see how I protected you from your father. See how I protected you from your father. Then Hazrat Abu Bakr came after a while. When Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came after a while, he saw that the situation was more relaxed. And what did Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said? He said, Subhanallah. He said, now let me be part and parcel of peace and the relaxed atmosphere, the way I wanted to make an interference at a time when there was some sort of tension at that particular time. On one occasion, this is even a more amazing incident. Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha, you know, used to cook. Now, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha says that she used to envy the cooking of Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha the most. Because Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha used to cook well. So one day, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha cooked something, and she cooked something, and then when she had just finished cooking, Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha sent something to Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And because she was a very good cook, Hazrat Aisha said, all my effort is gone, that this particular dish is going to be better from Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha. So what she did, and I will tell you the reason with regard to it, what she did, she toppled that dish. She toppled that dish and the entire dish fell down. It was not worthy of eating. And what did Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and I can imagine what would happen in today's time, subhanallah. You know, we will make such a big thing. And what did Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he just calmed the situation down and said, your mother had become possessive. Your mother had become possessive. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala used to say about her possessiveness of your beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, one day Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was gone to the Qabristan. So Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala followed Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw someone in a black robe, and as he came back, he saw Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala huffing and puffing and said, did you follow me? Did you pursue me? Why did you pursue me? Ya Rasulullah, I thought you had gone to go and see one of the other wives. And there is one statement Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala make whenever she had this particular possessiveness. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, why? And she said, why should one like me not be jealous regarding one like you? Why should one like me not be jealous with regard to someone like you? There is such an amazing incident. Sometimes, you know, the Ummahatul Mu'mineen are very great and they are means of guidance for our mothers and our sisters. But they were human beings who had normal emotions. And as they were very great, their emotions were also great. One amazing aspect was this, that one day we're going to a journey. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to take one or two wives. So in this particular journey, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took Hazrat Aisha and Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha. And when this particular aspect happened, then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to come at a particular time to Hazrat Aisha, because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam loved Hazrat Aisha the most after Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. So in this particular way, Hazrat Hafsa one day said, why don't we just change our tents? Today you stay in my tent, I stay in your tent. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala naively said, yes, we will do so. So as they did so, Then Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came in the same thing, expecting Hazrat Aisha to be there. Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala was there. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued speaking to Hazrat Hafsa till Hazrat Aisha waited and waited and then realized that Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala had changed the tent because she wanted Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to speak to her. And do you know what she did? She went outside, and when she went outside, there used to be a type of grass that many a times there used to be scorpions that used to come in those grass. And out of extreme love for Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she put her hand and her feet there and said, "Let there be a scorpion that comes and eat me. Because what I have done in terms of the love that she had for Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I missed out on those conversations with Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." This was the love that they had for our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What was also amazing in the marital life of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the humility of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in Tirmidhi there is a hadith that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to patch his sandals, sew his garments, and conduct himself at home in such a way that many a times you and I won't be able to do so. They would be able to do domestic chores. And in conclusion, I would like to make mention of one or two things, and this one is important for us. No matter what we feel today, because sometimes we don't seem to get the right balance in terms of our community, our individual interaction with women. Remember this one particular aspect, that women were created from the rib, right? They were created from the rib of men, not from the head to dominate. Is this also important? You see, there was a notice in one of the restaurants, "All our waiters are married and know how to take orders." Now, they were not prepared from the head to nominate. They were not created from the feet to be trampled upon. They were created under the arms to be protected. They were created under the arms to be protected. And they were created next to the heart to love. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to love his wife so much and to care for their needs. Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala one day had back pain. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a small cushion for her to be able for her to sit on the camel. And he put his knees near the camel and told Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala, "You climb on my knees and then you come upon the camel." When Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala's camel became slow at the time of Hajjatul Wida, and she complained about it and she started crying because her camel broke down, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam came and saw her crying, and Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam wiped her tears away and said, "Don't cry, I will make other arrangements." This is how Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to look after the needs of his wives. And in this particular regard, one of the very important things is, do not let your own insecurities, don't let your own insecurities stifle the progress of your women folk. And one of the reasons why Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala was this, because of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala's talent. If there is a particular talent that your wife has, and that doesn't mean that you must become insecure, you help her with regard to her talent. So that is the reason why Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala the most, because of her keen intellect, her questioning, her knowledge. A very substantial percentage of the ummah's knowledge came from Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala says, and just remember this, one beautiful thing, he said, "Mashtakala ashaba Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam," whenever the ashab had any difficulty with regard to any fiqh issue, any aspect with regard to tafsir, the Quran and hadith, where did they go? They went to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, and more often than not, in fact most of the time, they used to get suitable answers to their queries or to their whatever questions they had with regard to Quran and hadith. That is why after the Ghazwa of Dhatu Salasil, one day, Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu came to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, "Ya Rasulullah, who do you love most?" And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instinctively said, "Aisha." And then he said, "That who do you love most amongst the males?" He said, "Aisha's father." Subhanallah. Just look at this. One day, the wives of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because of the intense love that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, they sent Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say that the other wives are saying that perhaps you have too much of love for Nabi. And that love was not for the sake of personal reasons. Our ulama say it was not because of the beauty of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. There were perhaps other wives that were perhaps more beautiful. But it was because of her intellect, because of her keenness in understanding the deen of Almighty Allah. Look at how many things we learn from Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. On one occasion, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is not permissible to get any woman married until you get her consent. No statement. But may we be sacrificed upon our mother. She asked the question, "Ya Rasulullah, A woman is still young. A girl is still young. She is 15, 16, 17 years old. Right? She is modest, naturally modest. If they ask her, do you want to get married to such and such a person? Ya Rasulullah, sometimes out of shyness, she might not be able to say yes. Nabi Karim ﷺ said, if she is unable to say yes because of modesty, then her silence is regarded to be consent. Where do we learn this? We learn this from Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. It was Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha who taught us this. One day Nabi Karim s.a.w. said, whoever loves meeting Allah, Allah loves meeting him. Right? So Aisha said, Ya Rasulullah, no one loves to meet Allah, no one likes to die. What does it mean? Then immediately Nabi Karim s.a.w. said, before you die, Allah ta'ala shows you your reward and abode in Jannah. When a Muslim sees his abode in Jannah, sees the reward Allah ta'ala has kept, then he loves meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He doesn't talk about normal circumstances. One day a person came to our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Aisha, this person is amongst the people that people fear because of his vulgarity. He doesn't have a very good conduct. He is very vulgar. He is a person we must stay away from. But yet when he came, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke to him civilly, and Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke to him beautifully, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam treated him well. And immediately after he went, now look at all of this. Where did we learn from? We learned from Hazrat Aisha. And Nabi Karim s.a.w. when he went to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha said, Ya Rasulullah, you said he's vulgar, you said he's like this, you said he's like that, yet you treated him so well, you spoke so well to him. What is the reason? And look at the answer Nabi s.a.w. said, oh Aisha, the worst of people are those who people shun and stay away from because of their vulgarity and their lack of conduct. The worst of people are those. And I wonder sometimes, today you and I, we take it as a matter of pride. Meto ine hamrawe dido, meto ine evo ke dido, e mare hambe ni aave pachi. He'll never come in front of me. I told him whatever I want to tell him. We take it as a matter of pride. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the worst of people are those that people stay away from because of their tongue, because of the vulgarity of their tongue. This was, and that is why Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had so many different type of marriages. One of the reasons was that the different aspects, Umm Salma radiallahu ta'ala was sensitive. Umm Salma radiallahu ta'ala had children. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got married to her to show the ummah, how do you get married to someone who is sensitive? And how do you deal with someone if you get married to them and if they have children? Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala was prone to anger. How do you deal with someone who is prone to anger? Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala was keen, intellect, enthusiastic, had great knowledge. How do you deal with someone who is like that? Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala was very loyal, and she was the one who supported Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. How do you to deal with that? And that is why, with regard to Hazrat Aisha, the Arabic poet had said, Ya Mubghidi, La Ta'ti Qabra Muhammadin, Fal Baytu Bayti, Wal Makanu Makani. Those who hate Aisha, then let them not come to the qabr of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Why? Because that place where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam lays buried is the house of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. It is the apartment of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. There are so many other things, but time has elapsed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a small glimpse of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as a family man and as a married person. I do apologize for taking more time than was intended. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil
alamin. Jazakumullah to Hazrat Maulana Ibrahim Baum Sahib. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala enable us to practice on those advices that Maulana has so eloquently imparted. Brothers, some refreshments will be served. Let's try and partake of the refreshments very quickly, because Maghrib Adhan will go shortly, and then we will be performing the Maghrib Salah, inshallah. There is a white Toyota Conquest. It's really causing a big traffic challenge. FCB102GP. FCB102GP. White Toyota Conquest. Please remove that vehicle. Shukran.